Good morning, friends. This is Candace. I'm coming to you from Autism One Radio. Today, my guest is Dr. Stephanie Seneff, and she is a senior research scientist for MIT. And her specialty is glyphosate. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Great to
be
here.
So, recently I did an interview with Carrie Rivera. Our listeners can find that at Autism One Media on YouTube. It's called, the title of the program is Economic Helpful Treatment for Autism. And I thought it was appropriate to follow up with you so you could tell us about the mechanism and how chlorine dioxide kills glyphosate in the cell.
Yes, well, it actually does more than that. I'm very fascinated by chlorine dioxide, and I should just mention, and I suppose you must have talked to Carrie about this, but she has reversed autism in over 500 patients. She has treated thousands of patients around the world with a program that involves a lot of nutritional supplements and, you know, restricted diet. But the key thing, I think, is the chlorine dioxide. All of her patients who have reversed their autism were including chlorine dioxide in treatment. In other words, none of her patients who are refusing to use chlorine dioxide are getting reversed, which makes me think chlorine dioxide is critical to the reversal of autism. So that is something I'm very fascinated with. And as you know, I'm a scientist, so I'm always looking for why, how, you know, what is the mechanism by which chlorine dioxide could be so powerful? And I've actually identified more than glyphosate, but I think that is a key part of it, that it can break down glyphosate non-enzymatically. And glyphosate is hard to break down. There are a few enzymes that can do it, but for the most part, most of our microbes can't break glyphosate down. You know, there's just a few interesting species that are able to break that CP bond in glyphosate, which is a very difficult bond to break. And then they can actually use glyphosate as a nutrient, which is interesting. But chlorine dioxide is very different from chlorine, and people get them confused. So people think chlorine dioxide is real toxic, and certainly that's been the messaging from, you know, the mainstream. And I think the reason for this intense messaging to try to get us to be terrified of chlorine dioxide is because they know it's cheap and it's effective. You know, it's treating a lot more than just autism. And my guess is that part of the reason is because it's able to help clear the glyphosate. And this would then get into the whole question of glyphosate toxicity, which is a huge, long story that I won't do now. But I want to say also chlorine dioxide, of course, is also an antiseptic agent, and that's the way that it's being used. I mean, for example, when you go camping, you can get chlorine dioxide on the web. It's non-prescription. It's not something that, you know, is hard to get. And you can put chlorine dioxide tablets into water that you might pull out of a stream if you're camping, and that can make that water, it can prepare that water for safe drinking. You know, it basically is an antiseptic. And it's used a lot in food processing. It's used to, you know, in places where food is going to come in contact, wipe the surfaces, get rid of biofilms and things like that. So it's a great antiseptic agent, and it's very safe. It's much, much safer than other things that would have that role, which is one of the very attractive things about it. So the other thing that it does, which I find really fascinating, is that it oxidizes sulfur. Its specific focus is on sulfur. It's very resistant to oxidizing nitrogen-containing compounds, which is very, very important, as that's how you can get toxicity from other reactive elements. Chlorine reacts with organic matter to produce really toxic byproducts. That's what makes chlorine very dangerous. But chlorine dioxide has a very different chemical behavior compared to chlorine, which is what makes it much safer. Oxidizing sulfur is a good thing, because one of the problems that glyphosate introduces is to disrupt the body's ability to oxidize sulfur, and that's why you get into problems with sulfate deficiency with glyphosate. And so chlorine dioxide, I believe, is helping to boost the body's ability to produce sulfate, which is absolutely crucial for your health. So I think it does three things. It helps to kill, it also, well, the microbes actually release hypochlorite in response to an infection. Not the microbes, the immune cells. Your own immune cells release hypochlorite as a weapon to attack infective pathogens in the gut. And But that release of hypochlorite can be impaired, again, because of glyphosate. I believe glyphosate can disrupt that process of being able to release the hypochlorite. And I believe that chlorine dioxide can help to enable the immune cells to be able to fight the infection in the way that's entirely appropriate for the immune cells. So chlorine dioxide is a natural compound. It's not a synthetic compound. It's found in, you know, in the body. I mean, the body makes use of the same principles that it uses to kill the microbes. So it's like a very natural way to approach something like a pathogen infection.
So besides autism, because it enables the immune system, besides autism, it would help any number of illnesses.
Yes. And of course, malaria was the thing that was first discovered. I don't know if you know the story about Jim Humble. He had been using it, again, just to make his water safe to drink. He had it with him when he was on an expedition, I forget where, and there was a malaria outbreak, and he just decided, well, I've got this stuff, why not try it, you know? And it turned out it was miraculous. When someone was very sick with malaria, he would give them the chlorine dioxide, and it would cause them to heal very quickly. It was quite striking, and that's what gave him the idea that this stuff is really powerful. And I've heard that it's very, very effective also in gum disease. Like if you have an abscessed tooth or something like that, chlorine dioxide can be really, really great at helping to fix an abscessed tooth. So there's some very – it's actually in mouthwash, so people can get mouthwashes with chlorine dioxide as a component of the mouthwash because they know that that's an excellent antiseptic. Of course, they use it on medical equipment to make sure, you know, try to make sure there aren't any pathogens lurking that are going to cause some kind of hospital infection, that sort of thing. And as I said, they use it in food processing plants. They use it particularly in water, and it's actually a much safer. They use chlorine, you know, in water treatment plants. They use chlorine, which is very dangerous. Chlorine can produce very toxic organic compounds, which is why it's worrisome, chlorine.
And shut down your liver and kidneys.
Yeah,
my brother
right.
has a well they drink from, and they
uh-huh.
will put, you know, a couple tablespoons of chlorine in there. I'm like, are you kidding me? This will harm you. You know, they
yeah.
use that to keep out the, you know, fungus.
The bug. Oh, yeah, I know, to kill all the different kinds of organisms that might be growing in the water. And it's used extensively. Well, chlorine is used extensively, especially in the United States, in water treatment plants. And chlorine dioxide is also used. And as I said, chlorine dioxide is much, first of all, it has a much broader pH range. It sort of behaves itself much, much better than chlorine. It's more expensive. Europeans are more inclined to use chlorine dioxide in the water treatment plants, you know, because it's safer. It's much safer than chlorine, and it's more expensive than chlorine. But it has the same effect. It's not as strong at killing the microbes, but that's a good thing because that also makes it less dangerous to you. You know, you can't take chlorine. That'd be foolish. I mean, that's be very dangerous to do. But chlorine dioxide is a very, very different compound from chlorine.
I've listened to a lot of YouTubers talk about chlorine dioxide, and they take it every day. And
uh-huh.
they are attacked
yes,
by mainstream.
I know.
They are just attacked they still swear by it. They take it every day.
It's incredible, isn't it, that they swear by it despite being attacked so much. And this is what's very frustrating to me because here is something. If it's true, and I believe, Carrie, that it's reversing autism, the mainstream ought to be all over it, right? Here we are with this autism epidemic that's completely disrupting our lives. And here's a solution that's actually working. And then what they do is try to make sure that nobody dares to take it. I mean, that is so weird, isn't it?
It is, and it's the same thing. They had that Samoa measles outbreak, and
yeah.
that man, a philanthropist, provided vitamin A for all these people with these measles, and he was arrested.
Yeah, it's so
Why
strange,
wouldn't they man. Want vitamin A? You know, it seems like they would be thankful.
Yeah, well, anything that's not a prescription, right? I mean, this is the thing, The whole industry is really sick right now because in order to make a lot of money, you have to be able to have a patent. In order to have a patent, you have to produce a non-natural product. So anything that's a drug is a chemical. It's not a natural product. And whenever something's a chemical, it's really, really bad for your body, you know? So anything natural is so much better. Generally speaking, natural is hugely better than a chemical that's made in the chemistry lab. And yet those are the only things they can market and make money on with the patent. So that's the crazy situation we're in, is that if it's not patented, they're not interested. And chlorine dioxide is very economical, very effective, and very safe. And I want to say, in fact, I want to get into this a lot because I did some investigation on chlorine dioxide with regard to safety. There's a database that's maintained by the FDA. It's called the FDA's Advanced FAERS, Adverse Event Reporting System, AERS, FDA's Adverse Event Reporting System, which is a massive database that's maintained online. You can download it. You can look at it. Anybody can. It's completely available. And I took, it's huge amounts of data. It's all these groups of adverse events to any kind of drug, both natural drugs and prescription drugs, not either with or without prescription. And things like chlorine dioxide are included in that. They have reactions to vitamins, in there. But I took a look at 2017. I was particularly interested in chlorine dioxide and also two drugs, which are the only two drugs that have been approved for autism, to treat autism symptoms. And those two drugs are Risperdal and Abilify. And both of them are antipsychotic, synthetic antipsychotics with a huge list of really scary side effects. And they're heavily used. Many, many autistic kids are on these drugs. And so the industry thinks they're fine. Well, when you look at the reactions in the FDA's reporting system, I just took the 1 year, 2017, I took the entire, all the data for that year on Abilify, Risperdal, and chlorine dioxide. And there were like 100,000 events where Risperdal was one of the drugs was being taken. And of those, 22,000 had Risperdal listed as the primary, meaning that that's the one they think was causing the symptoms. And the symptoms that were showing up were just amazing. I mean, one of the big things is for males growing breasts and for females becoming infertile. It disrupts the reproductive system in a big way. It causes males to have female breasts and even to produce milk. It's truly amazing. It also causes seizures, OCD, vomiting, somnolence, sleepiness. Many cases were death, weight gain, and something called neuroleptic malignant syndrome, which has high fever, confusion, rigid muscles, sweating, fast heart rate, unstable blood pressure, and life-threatening. Neuroleptic malignant syndrome. And this is a feature, this is a syndrome that's named for the fact that it is a reaction to these antipsychotic drugs. So here you have these drugs, 20,000, so that Abilify, another 10,000 cases, just in 2017 alone, where Abilify was the suspected drug. These people are taking lots of drugs, and Abilify was the one they singled out as the one most likely to be causing the symptoms that they were reporting. And a similar list of symptoms, including akathisia, which is like, spastic movements, tremors, things like that. And heart issues, heart arrhythmias, and cardiac arrest. I mean, all kinds of horrible things. Chlorine dioxide was mentioned three times in the entire year, 2017, three times. All three times it was listed as one of the other drugs the person was taking. In other words, they didn't think it was the drug that was causing the effects. So when you look at that kind of comparison between these two drugs that are prescribed heavily for autism and chlorine dioxide, which has almost nothing ever happening that's bad. It's just crazy that they go after chlorine dioxide so viciously, and they don't say anything about these drugs. These drugs are perfectly fine, We live in a very warped space in which...
upside-down world, what we call it.
It is. It really is. It's so incredible to me. And they just don't... First of all, they don't want to cure the autism because then they're not going to get all the money they get from the Risperdal, If your child actually doesn't have autism anymore, they won't have to take this drug for life. Then they don't like that because they're not going to make money. I mean, it's so crazy.
Yeah, my son is not on any of these drugs. I have an adversity to any kind of pharmaceutical poison.
I totally agree with that. Oh, man.
And, I have an adversity to most doctors, the doctors you want to see, the insurance company does pay for,
Isn't it? It's so crazy, isn't it?
I told my husband, just take me right off of that insurance. I don't need to.
Yeah.
I can't foresee myself going to the hospital after any time soon.
Right, I know. It's like the last place you'd go, right, if you're trying to stay well.
Well, I would be interested in seeing a chiropractor, but my insurance won't cover it unless I have an injury. But to me, it's like tuning a piano, you know, and get all those systems flowing properly, you know, and you maintain your piano.
Oh, I think acupuncture, for example, is fantastic. You know, acupuncture, chiropractor, acupuncture, all these things that are
holistic.
Holistic medicine is really the way to go, absolutely. And, you know, people are slowly waking up. I think the holistic doctor doing quite well these days. And I give a lot of talks in sort of at conferences where for the alternative medicine folks, and they're just great. They're so receptive to my message, and they're so eager to help people nutritionally. I mean, all of this is so much better than the drugs. I mean, I don't know a single pharmaceutical drug that I would recommend, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. We hear about these miraculous results from cannabis in cancer and autism. And Dr. Judy Mikovits goes into the mechanism of how that works. So
interesting. That's very interesting, too, yes. And
so I'm just trying to put all these pieces together, you know. it's very complex. And I did the interview with Carrie, and I was just blown away about how many people have reported. Their testimonials are amazing.
Yes.
And I've
actually watched her give interviews to children who have had their autism reversed. And you can see those children are perfectly fine. You can tell just from the interview. It's amazing, you know?
I saw that you had done an interview with Carrie, and that's on Carrie's website at carrierivera.com. So that's K-E-R-R-I, Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A.com. And she also has, let's see, I wrote it here, and now I can find it, The Truth About Chlorine Dioxide.com.
Yes.
And on one of those two websites is where your interview is, where you totally explain the mechanism of how it works.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating.
So can you tell us a little bit about glyphosate, just for our listeners who are unaware of all of the places where we can find glyphosate that's harming
us and our children? I believe glyphosate is the primary reason for the autism epidemic. I'm quite confident that I'm right about that. And so people really need to wake up and realize.
Now, how long have you had this hunch?
7 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been 7 years. And I can give you a little bit of the history there, because I got interested in autism probably about, I've been interested in autism for a long time, because I had a friend way back when, in the 1980s, whose child had a DPT shot, had a bad reaction, and ended up with an autism diagnosis, which put into my mind the idea of a connection between autism and vaccines. And I do think it's there. It's a contributing factor. But glyphosate wasn't on my radar screen at all. I started looking at 12 years ago, and I was looking at all kinds of things, you know, the vaccines, the mercury, the aluminum, the fluoride, the EMFs, all these different things. And I was feeling like I wasn't finding the answer. And after about 5 years of research, I happened to be at a conference where Professor Don Huber gave a two-hour presentation on glyphosate. And I didn't know what glyphosate was when I walked in the room. And by the end of that presentation, I was convinced that I had found the answer. I was so sure. It was amazing, because what he was talking about that glyphosate does was fitting very well with what I was seeing. I was learning a lot about what autism is. And certainly part of it is a disrupted gut microbiome. A lot of issues with the gut, constipation, diarrhea.
Yes, and that is my son's biggest symptom, besides the speech issues and the social problems.
Mm-hmm.
But the gut, he will go 4 or 5 days without pooping. And it's very, very, very concerning.
It is, right. So I think that's glyphosate. And actually, it's an extremely interesting mechanism by which it does that. One of the things is serotonin. Glyphosate disrupts an enzyme in a pathway called the shikimate pathway, which exists in plants and also exists in the gut microbes, but which human cells don't have. So because we don't have that pathway, the argument goes that glyphosate's a wonderful chemical because it kills, first of all, it's an herbicide. It kills all plants except for those that have been engineered to resist it, and that's how they get by with using it. Spraying all over the crop doesn't die because it's been engineered with a bacterial gene that protects it, a working version of the enzyme that's not sensitive to glyphosate. And so they can be very careless, and it becomes very efficient to kill the weeds. The problem is that the glyphosate gets soaked up by the plant and ends up in the food supply. And, you know, various organizations have been testing various foods for glyphosate contamination, and they're finding alarming amounts in foods that are very popular among children. For example, Cheerios. So Cheerios are non-GMO. So you see this label, non-GMO. One, I'll buy that for my child, loaded with glyphosate. Cheerios are one of the worst offenders, very high levels. That's because they're sprayed right before the harvest as a desiccant. And that's true for oats, it's true for wheat, it's true for various beans like the garbanzo beans and chickpeas, you know, hummus and things like that, lentils. These foods are coming up with incredibly high levels of glyphosate. Wheat germ is, so wheat is also sprayed right before harvest, and I think that's the reason why we have an epidemic in gluten intolerance. I think it's due to the glyphosate contamination in the wheat. And wheat germ, for example, has extremely high levels of glyphosate in it because the glyphosate goes into the seed and then it synchronizes the harvest so that all the plants go to seed in reaction to this toxic exposure. They go to seed, they dump the glyphosate into the seed, and then that seed becomes wheat germ, which is incredibly highly contaminated with glyphosate. So you've got things like Oreo cookies.
And my son used to just live on those. And goldfish.
Oreo cookies are loaded. Goldfish crackers, Oreo cookies, and oats are just loaded with glyphosate. And these are so
popular. Not to mention corn.
Absolutely. Corn is a GMO Roundup Ready product. And soy, of course. Soy is GMO Roundup Ready. Sugar beets. So that's another one, sugar. And, of course, kids love sugar. And sugar cane is sprayed right before harvest. Sugar beets are GMO Roundup Ready. There's lots of glyphosate in honey. In America, so there was a whole study on honey. They looked at honeys around the world. And they looked for glyphosate. They found consistently the highest levels of glyphosate in honeys that came from the United States.
So that means our bees
are being poisoned by the glyphosate. That's why we have a bee colony collapse syndrome. It's working synergistically with the insecticides like chlorpyrifos. They're working together to kill the bees. But I think glyphosate's a major contributor to the bee problem. It disrupts the gut microbiome, killing off the lactobacillus and the bifidobacteria. Lactobacillus are absolutely crucial. When the baby's born, that's the microbe that wants to really get hold in the gut. Normally, you would have mostly lactobacillus when you're an infant. And, of course, it loves milk. I mean, that's the microbe that can metabolize milk. Lactobacillus is also very good at metabolizing gluten. So when you kill off the lactobacillus, your body can't metabolize gluten anymore. And that's why you get these gluten peptides that don't get digested. And that's how you end up with celiac disease.
And that is on the rise.
Absolutely. It's on the rise exactly in step with the rise in the use of glyphosate on wheat. I've done a whole paper on that. It's quite remarkable. There's
now, where can we find your science? I know that you've been at this for a really long time.
Yes. Well, so I have a bunch of my papers and also a bunch of my presentations. I have various slideshows and some of my interviews and whatnot, webcams and podcasts and things like that posted on my webpage at MIT, which is http people, P-E-O-P-L-E dot CSAIL, that's my lab, Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory, C-S-A-I-L dot MIT dot edu slash Seneff, my last name, S-E-N-E-F-F. If you can remember my last name, which is quite unusual, and you search it on the web, S-E-N-E-F-F, you'll find my webpage typically at the top, you know, or near the top of the list, my MIT webpage, where I have all these things posted.
This is fascinating, and it ties so many things together, because I know a gal, she's fighting censorship with a bunch of us at StopBitBurning.com. And she did the movie on the bee colonies.
Yes.
And she'd probably like an interview as well, because this will put some pieces.
Yeah, I mean, people are missing glyphosate. They're missing it completely because they don't think it's toxic. This is what's so sad. There's a problem with the birds, you know, around the Great Lakes area. They have a weird problem that's been showing up since 1998 where their beak just completely grows too long and curls around. And they get to the point where they can't eat because their beak is so screwed up. it's a disorder that was showing up in the birds around the Great Lakes, right at the same time as they introduced the GMO Roundup Ready crops, you know, the corn and the soy all around the Great Lakes. And so there was a paper, a long paper that talked that looked at all these different toxins, looking at metals, toxic metals, and various toxic herbicides and insecticides, and they couldn't find anything that was causing this problem. And they didn't even look at glyphosate. I mean, that's what's so frustrating. There it is. Glyphosate is the thing that's changing, you know. As these birds are getting sick, it's the obvious thing to look at, and then people don't look at it. It's so frustrating for me. The same thing with the bees, you know.
Yeah, but recently we had a couple of wins. Bobby Kennedy went up against Monsanto.
That is so exciting. I was so thrilled. This is really changing the story a lot because those were three, there have been three so far, lawsuits that have won with a jury trial with huge amounts of money awarded by the jury, over $2 billion in one case awarded by the jury. They were later cut way back by the judge. But the jury awarded huge amounts of money to these people for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, glyphosate linked to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And there are more than 42,000 cases waiting in the wings right now for glyphosate and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
So when can we shut this program down? Do you think it's possible to shut this program down?
It's going to come. And I feel like the winds are blowing in the right direction and they're going to blow harder, faster, because once people start waking up, as soon as you say, oh, my God, it's glyphosate, which is what I did 7 years ago, as soon as you say that, and then as soon as you start looking at that in the context of everything you see, you say, oh, my God, is this too, you know? And you get a huge list after a while. This is what is so stunning. To me, glyphosate is causing autism. It's causing the obesity epidemic, the diabetes epidemic, the die-off of the bees, the butterflies. You know, you look at the monarch butterflies. They've disappeared practically, right? They eat milkweed that's sprayed with glyphosate. The milkweed is being killed by the glyphosate. It's a weed that grows in the GMO crops. It's being sprayed with glyphosate. The butterflies are eating milkweed. They're getting poisoned by glyphosate. It's so clear to me. You know, and it's just incredible that we don't see that. We've been so brainwashed into believing that glyphosate is perfectly safe that we just will not consider it. And that's changing fast as, of course, these lawsuits come really open up people's minds. And researchers are starting now to publish papers that are revealing the toxic effects. For example, kidney failure is one. Kidney failure among the agricultural workers, the sugarcane workers in Central America, are dying in record numbers in their 40s from a strange kind of kidney failure that nobody understands, you know. But here they are. They spray the sugarcane with glyphosate right before the harvest. Then they burn the crop, and then they harvest it. So they're breathing glyphosate in the air as they're harvesting the crop. And their condition, the symptoms get worse at the harvest time. And it's very clear that glyphosate's a cause. And, in fact, there have been several papers published proposing that glyphosate's a cause, although the industry, of course, is fighting back viciously. They always
geoengineering chemtrails? Do you think it's in the chemtrails?
I don't know. I actually don't know. It could be. Why do you say that?
Oh, I'm just curious on what the other sources for glyphosate would
be
besides.
Well, one place I'm worried about is gasoline, because gasoline is now 100% ethanol. The ethanol comes from GMO Roundup Ready corn. And I know glyphosate's been showing up in all kinds of alcoholic beverages. It's been showing up in wine. It's been showing up in beer pretty consistently. Like all the California wines, even the biodynamics had small amounts of glyphosate. But it's used to control the weeds around the grapes at the in the vineyards. And Zen Honeycutt of Moms Across America, she's in California. She's really awesome. And she founded this organization called Moms Across America. And her main focus is glyphosate. And she tested several different California wines, and they all came out positive with glyphosate.
Wow. And I'm right here on the central coast of California where we have the best Pinot Noir.
That's what I was wondering. When you said where you were located, I immediately thought of that.
Yeah, we have, you know, the world's best wine right here where I live, Santa Barbara County.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
that's
so
really
that's kind of very...
Yeah.
Well, I gave up drinking wine. It gives me a headache probably because of glyphosate.
Yeah, we drink organic wine. I appreciate it. I like wine, but we drink.
So please explain to us, even if the label says GMO-free or certified organic,
yeah,
are we guaranteed
so
that there won't be glyphosate in our food?
GMO-free is not even a useful label, in my opinion, because some of the highest levels of glyphosate are in non-GMO food, such as oats. So, for example, Cheerios will advertise non-GMO Cheerios loaded with glyphosate. And oatmeal, for example, loaded with glyphosate. And wheat is non-GMO, but it's also sprayed right before harvest. So you have this whole set of very common non-GMO crops that go into the processed food industry in a big way that are sprayed right before harvest. They're actually getting more contamination than the ones that are GMO because of that. Because when you spray it right before harvest, it just goes right into the harvest seed, and then you end up with lots of it in food.
So unless we grow our own food and have our whole organic food in our backyard,
and
we use chlorine dioxide to kill it, I'm sorry?
Yeah, you don't even know where your backyard has been, right? If you're living in a place that used to be a vineyard, you may have.
Well, that was my concern, you know. When my son was first diagnosed with autism, I had him at my sister told him to let him play in the hose and the dirt and make a mess and be a boy. And
yeah.
I, you know, you hear these things from your mom and she tells you, you know, we played in the dirt and that way you get all those microbes. And so I thought it was the right thing to do. But I found out since we live in such a agricultural area, it's huge for growing food and grapes, strawberries.
Yes,
I found out that where we lived had been, you know, farmland, and I'm wondering, you know, about the glyphosate in the dirt.
It's quite a possibility, I think. It's so annoying to me that, because playing in the dirt is a healthy thing. I used to play in the dirt when I was a child. It used to be healthy, but now you don't know where the dirt's coming
well,
from.
Well, and then it ties in with my interview with Dr. David Lewis and his studies on sludge and how they're putting the sludge on the land.
Yeah, I know. Sewer sludge is just awful. It's really scary to think about, isn't it? We're just poisoning the entire earth, you know? It looks like no end in sight. But I really do think that more and more people are waking up. More and more people are eating organic. We have an exponential growth in the demand for organic. And, of course, our country can't meet the needs, so we end up importing organic foods from elsewhere to try to satisfy the demand for organic in this country. Certified organic is the thing to look for. Don't even worry about non-GMO. Just look for certified organic because that's a superset of non-GMO. You cannot use glyphosate in certified organic, unless you're cheating, of course, and we don't know to what extent people are cheating, and that depends on how careful the monitoring is. You know, if the government doesn't ever pay attention, you could just perhaps get by with calling it certified organic when it's not. But I would hope that that they are, you know, honest about it. But even then, you still get glyphosate, you know, and often, so there was a, there's a Canadian activist named Tony Mitra who pressured the Canadian government into testing a bunch of foods for glyphosate. And I really appreciate that because it helps figure out which foods are likely to have high levels. And he got them to test over 8,000 different food samples for glyphosate, and including foods grown in Canada, but also foods imported from the United States, from Europe, from Mexico. And there was a consistent trend that they found, which was that foods from Canada or from the United States had consistently the high levels of glyphosate in them. And, in fact, Mexico was more in line with Europe. So a lot of the Mexican foods had a lot less glyphosate than the one in the U.S. or Canada, and more like what they were seeing from European foods. And you could even get non-organic food from Europe in some food classes. You could get non-organic food from Europe that had less glyphosate than organic food. Than the organic version from the United States. So despite being organic, it's still getting glyphosate because, like you say, it's in the manure. You know, it's going to be in the fertilizer. It'll be in the rain. It's in the air when the neighboring farmer is spraying it on his field. You can't tell the wind not to blow over your field. I mean, if you are in the United States, you can't avoid glyphosate, which is very, very depressing to me.
So would you take chlorine dioxide as a preventative measure?
I have to admit that I have not taken it. I've thought about taking it because I should do that if I'm going to talk about being safe, right? I really should take it. but I have not tried it yet. And I don't need it because I'm healthy, so that's another. If I were sick, I would. I mean, if I had something that I felt chlorine dioxide would treat, I would definitely take it. I would take it before I would take anything else.
Okay, Dr. Seneff, I'm going to try to wind this up. So I want to be able to give you a call again and set up another interview as questions come up. Would that be okay?
That would be great. I would love to do it.
And I'm going to urge our listener to search you, Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F,
mm-hmm.
and your studies will come up. And also to go to thetruthaboutchlorinedioxide.com or carrierivera.com, and there they can see your in-depth video on the pathology of how chlorine dioxide works
mm-hmm.
in remediating some of these symptoms of
right.
autism. So I want to thank you so much for your time. I mean, I know we could go on forever. There's so much.
Yeah, there's always lots more to say, but I think we covered good territory. I think I didn't quite finish the story about the gut microbes because I was talking about the shikimate pathway, which produces tryptophan, which is a precursor to serotonin, and serotonin is really important for the peristalsis in the gut. So when you have glyphosate poisoning, you disrupt the bacteria that produce the precursor to serotonin, which causes you to have serotonin deficiency, which causes you to have constipation. That's how you can get to constipation from chronic glyphosate exposure.
I see. Well, I'm very interested in hitting up Carrie for my son. So, and I just needed you to clarify some stuff, you know, and encourage me to do that. So,
right. It's hard to when you see how much pushback there is from the mainstream. It makes you feel very nervous. So you have to be careful, certainly. And start
yes.
to go, you know, and then just be careful.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful day. I thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Eat well.
You too.
Bye-bye, Dr. Seneff. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.